Today's Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Gimel. And we're beginning at the two dots, which is five lines from the top. Just want to add one cute little thing from the end of yesterday's share. We brought down why little children are able to go and read by the light on Shabbos, whereas an adult, the Gabbai, the Chazan, or Rebbe, is not allowed to. So there's a very interesting reason. You can see it over here in the Rabbeinu Nisim Gon, toward the bottom of the daf on the left. He brings down from the Talmud Eretz Yisrael, that's from the Yerushalmi, and he says, you know why kids can go and read? Because they're not concerned that they're going to go adjust the light, because they can't wait for the light to go out, so they can, well, sorry, Rabbi, the light's out, we can't go and learn, and they go out for recess, and they go out to play. So you don't have to worry that the kids are going to go and adjust the light, and that's why children can read by the light on Shabbos, whereas the Rebbe can't. Okay, a little cute thing to start off the shiur. Now we begin by quoting the Mishnah. Kayotzibo lo yochal hazov. The Mishnah said that a zov and a zava aren't allowed to go and eat together because they may come to do an avera, because their closeness, their zov and a zov, they're not allowed to have relations with each other, but the husband and wife over here, they're going to have a nice meal, and one thing could lead to the next, and they can be over in avera. So Gemara says, Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, when the Braisa brings down for Rav Shimon Elazar, he says, Bore ad hechon partzo tara b'Yisrael. Look at the beautiful Klai Yisrael, that even when it comes to an avera, that is a very stringent avera, like inappropriate relations, when it's not allowed, the tahara overcomes everything. And that here, it didn't have to give us an example of a tahar person, a non-zav, a man who's tahar, not eating with his wife, who is a zava. That would never happen, because the tumah, the concern of tumah, would overweigh any desires that he might have to be with his wife. That's why it had to give us the example over here of a zav and a zava, so the tumah wasn't the concern. Oh, now we have to be concerned that maybe they'll forget themselves and do an avera. Shalosh sholinu, we didn't say lo yochal hator imatzmeya. We didn't say that a tar man can have dinner in a close relationship over here with his tumeya wife. Elo, we said lo yochal hazav imazava v'neherigal avera. The reason why a zav can't have the regular dinner over here with his wife, because of the likelihood that they'll commit an avera. But if there was a tumah concern, then we don't worry even about an avera like relations. So therefore, in this situation, look at the greatness of Klai Yisrael, how strict they were in tumah v'tara. Now, there are, of course, heterim nowadays for a man to eat with his wife while she is in nida. And, of course, there are all the harchakos and all the things that you have to do in order to allow that to happen, to remind you, to put up a hecker, to have something recognizable that will prevent you from forgetting and Rachman Wilson ending up doing an avera. In any event, the Gemara continues, says, Kayotzibo, similarly, just like we have this geder over here, don't have a zov, eat with a zov, so too, Kayotzibo, similar geder, lo yochal zov, parush im zov amo aretz. A man who is a zov, who's one of the prushim, that means the Talmidei Chachamim, the Shomer Torah Mitzvos people, should not eat a meal with the person who's Tamei, a zov, who is in amo aretz, who's not zahir in all sorts of dinim. Why? Shemri argileinu etzlo, you'll end up becoming friends with him, and that's not a good thing. So the Gemara says, "V'chi margilo etzlo, my habit." Oh, what's the big deal if they become friends? Why is that a bad thing? Gemara says, "You're right." El emo shema yachilenu dvarim tameim. We're concerned over here that if you become friends with him, you're going to end up eating his food, and his food is all tummy because he's tummy, and therefore you're going to eat the tummy dick of food. Gemara says, "Wait a second. Atu zav parush lav dvarim tameim achil." Wait a second. Even the zav, even though he's a parush, he's one of the prushim. He's a tamachakam. He's very careful. But he's tamei, so anything he eats is going to become tamei anyway. It's not a question of kashas over here. The zav al aretz is not giving him trei for food. He's giving him tamei a dick of food. But the zav, who's the perushim, he's from the people that are observing, so he's allowed to eat tamei a dick of food because he's tamei. So that can't be the reason. Omer Abaye, Abaye says, you're right. Zeiro shema yachalenu dvarim she'enu misukonim. You know what's going to happen over here? The am aretz is going to give him things that didn't have tithes taken from them. And therefore, in this situation, we have to be concerned if the Zav, who's the Prushi, goes and eats by the Amma Aretz, he's going to end up eating untithed foods. So Gemara says, wait a second. The Rav Amar, Rav Ameya Aretz, Ma'asrin Hain, the majority of the Amaratzim, in fact, did take off Chumas and Ma'as. There's only a small minority that didn't, and only for this small minority did the rabbis go and make the din of Demai, that you have to suspect that the Amma Aretz didn't take off Chumas and Ma'as. So that can't be the reason. So Gemara says, you're right. Here's the real reason. So he's going to end up feeding him food that is tame, which the Zav, who's a Prushi, can have while he is in fact in his tame dikah time, but when the the Zav, who's a parish, is no longer Tomei, he's going to forget, and he's used to eating with his friend over here, the Amaretz, and he's going to feed him Tomei Adika food during Yemei Taraso, which the Zav, who's a parish, wouldn't want. Okay, so that's the real answer. Now the Gemara continues, and he asked the question of the base Medrash, Yibarlu, they asked the following Shaila, Nida Mahu Shetishan Imbala, he bivigdo, v'hu bivigdo. They asked in the base Medrash, can a woman who's a Nida sleep in the same bed as her husband when they're both clothed? Obviously, if they're not clothed, they can't. But if they're both clothed, are we concerned over here that they may come to do an Aveira because she's a Nida and they're not allowed to have relations? Or do we say, no, they're clothed and that will stop them from doing the Aveira? So we answer this, Amar Rav Yosef, Toshma, I'll show you that the halacha is that, in fact, we do make a gzeir over here and we don't let them sleep together. Because ha'ov ole imagvina la shulchan, one is permitted to go and have a chicken on the table, eat chicken on the same table that somebody else is eating cheese. Now, you're not allowed to eat it, obviously, they don't echo, diri b'shamay. B'shamay says, of course you can't eat it together, that's an issa de rabbanon. There's an opinion that says it's an issa de raisa, but we pass it, that's an issa de rabbanon. There's only basa b'chala by real basar and not by chicken midaraisa and midarabbanon. The rabbi said, don't eat chicken parmesan. Don't have chicken and cheese together. But you can keep them on the same table together, according to Beis Shammai. We don't make a gzeira, even though you're not allowed to eat it, we don't make a gzeira that you shouldn't keep them on the same table. But along comes Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel omer lo ole, and certainly v'lo nechal. You're not allowed to bring it on the table even, and certainly you can't eat it together. So you see that you do make a gzeira over here. So we don't allow you to put the chicken and the cheese on the same table together because you may come to eat them. So to certainly the husband and wife, while she's a nida, they shouldn't sleep in their clothing together in the same bed. Gemara says, no, that's not a riot. Shiny hosom, deleka deyos. In the case of the chicken, Beis Hillel said, you have to be gozer over here that you don't put the chicken and the cheese together on the table because who's watching? There's no deyos over here. If you forget, you forget. Nobody's watching. As opposed to the husband and the wife, there's deus there. If the husband gets amorous, the wife's going to say, no, I'm a nida. If the wife gets amorous, the husband's going to say, no, you're a nida. And this is a good answer. Hachanami mistab. It makes sense that you have to make the zera by the cheese and the chicken, but you don't have to make the zera over here by the husband and the wife. Mistabra, it makes sense. The hecho, the iko, deos, shiny. If there are two people involved over here, there are deos. There are different minds over here, so then you don't have to make a zera. Why is that? Diktani sefer. You keep on reading over there in the Gemara in Chulin, it says, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you have shnei achsanoyim, if you have two guests over here, ochlin al shulchan echad, they're both eating at the same table. Echad ze al shulchan echad. Ze ochel basav, ze ochel gvina. One is eating meat and one is eating cheese. Now that's an issa deraisa. If you eat them together, at least if you cook them together, it's an issa deraisa. If you only eat them together, it's only an issa derabanan. But in any event, ein choshishin, we're not concerned that maybe a person says, oh, that looks like a nice piece of American cheese, and he just grabs a piece. Ein choshishin. So you see that we don't make a gzera, we're not concerned. So too, by the need, though, we don't make any gzera. Mar says, no, the Lavit Marlo, but we already answered that. Amr Chanan Barami, Amr Shmuel, Lo Shanu El Hashem Makirin Zezer. The only time you're allowed to do that is if the two people don't know each other. Abu Makirin Zezer, if the two people know each other, so then we are concerned that they'll be familiar with each other and one will go and take a bite from the other one, even though one's Sleishik, one is Milchit, they may take something from their friend. So Abu Makirin Zezer, Asurim. Now, but here in the case of the husband and the wife, they know each other. So if by the meat and the cheese, we say that we make gzeira, that's what Rav Chanan Barami says. So too by the husband and the wife, they know each other. Gemara says, no, here's the difference. They're not the same. In the case of the meat and the cheese, there are two people there, but there is no Shinoi, there is nothing unusual. They're both sitting down at the table. And one person could say, oh, that's a nice piece of American cheese. I'm going to take it, bite. And he's going to forget that he's slashing. Well, the other guy says, ooh, that looks like a nice hamburger. I'm going to take a bite. And he's going to eat it. Therefore, you have two people, but you don't have a shinoi. In the case over here, however, of the husband and the wife, hacha, ikur deos, there's two people, and gam kein v'ikur shinoi. You also have the shinoi that they're clothed. It's normally not in a way that they would go to bed if they were going to have relations, that they would be clothed. So therefore, the fact that they're clothed and that there's two people over here, we're certain that we don't need to enact gzeira. But by the meat and the cheese, there's only two deos, but there's no shinoi, we have to enact gzeira. That's version number one. Version number two, the exact same conclusion is ika di amre. According to this version, the Bryce and Chulin is as follows. Toshma. If you have two guests eating at the same table, say a boss, one's having meat, fleishos, one's having milk, cheese. The Itmar alone, we said about that, that the only time they're allowed to do that is Amr Chanan Barami, Amr Shmuel, Lo Shanu El Hashem Makirin, says they're the only time they're allowed to eat together at the same table without making any sort of exera is if they don't know each other. Avo makirin zeze. But if they know each other, then also, because we're afraid that one guy's going to take the food from the other guy. Vahani nami makirin zeze. Now, our situation with the husband and the wife, they both know each other. So therefore, vahani nami makirin zeze ninu. So therefore, you should have to go make a gzera, but we don't. So the Gemara says, no, hosam deos ika shinu leka. Again, we come to the same conclusion. By the meat and the cheese, so there's two people, but there's no hecker, there's no shinoi involved over here. Hocho, but by the husband and the wife, iko deos, there's two people, and also the iko shinoi, and their clothes, so therefore, it's not going to be a concern. We'll try again. Price says, Toshma, lo yochal azovim azovim mishum hergal aveira. We said that azov and azov shouldn't eat together because of the chance that it could lead to an aveira. Because they're used to each other and they get comfortable with each other now, they could lead to an aveira. So you see that we do make a gzeira over here. So Gemara answers, no, again, the same terrace as before. Hochonami, deosiko, yeah, there's the zov and the zov, there's two people, but shinu leka. They're both eating at the table in a normal way. There's no shinui over here, and therefore one thing could lead to the next, and before you know it, they could be committing an aveira. So that's why the zov and the zov are different than the husband and the wife who are clothed in bed while she's in nida. Try again. Toshma Gemara says, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, El Heharim Lo Achol. What does that mean? So Rashi is telling us over here, this is Gemara in Sanhedrin, that it tells us that this person doesn't rely upon the mountains. The Avos, the Schus Avos, are considered the mountains. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov referred to as Harim. So it says over here, this person that the Navi is referring to is Lo Nisparnes Mischus Avos. He's a big tzaddik on his own. He doesn't need the Schus Avos. Lo Hutzrach Lekach Lefishu Tzaddik. So such a person, he doesn't rely upon Schus Avos. El harim lo achal. And what does he do? He's such a tzaddik. Bein of lo nosel gilule beis Yisrael. He doesn't look at all the avodah zaris that are being unfortunately worshipped by Klai Yisrael. They say Yisrael lo timei. He doesn't look to Rachman Litzlan sleep with his next door neighbor's wife. And Elisha nida lo yikrovin. He doesn't sleep with his own wife when she's a nida. So what do we see over here from this pasuk? Mekish isha nida le'eishis re'ehu. You see that they're compared over here, these two averis. Rachman al-San having relations with your next door neighbor's wife and having relations with your wife when she's a nida. So ma eishes reyehu hu bivigda vihi bivigda. Just like there, you're both clothed, and yet osur we make a gzera. So afishto nida hu bivigda vihi bivigda osur. So too, we don't let the man be alone in bed with his wife, even though they're both fully clothed while she's a nida. Oh. Now we have the answer to our question. Shema mina. So the question that was raised before, Yibailu, are you allowed to do this? The answer is no. On the other hand, Upliga the Rapadas. This is not agreed upon by Rapadas. Dama Rapadas, Rapadas says, Lo asatorel kurva shel gili arayis, bilvad. Rapadas says, no, if it's not going to be real closeness of the unclothed bodies, so then it's not asur. And he bases upon the pasuk shenemar, he she shall kol she'er b'sarol, lo sikruli alo serva. The pasuk seems to say that they have to be actually naked in order for there to be an isur over here, and that's what Rapadas says, and therefore, in the case of the husband and the wife, where they're both clothes, there isn't going to be any need to make a gzera. Nadigmar tells us a very interesting and unusual story about Ula. Ula, ki avi asim bei Rav, when Ula came from the Beis Medrash, he learned by Rav, and when Ula came from Rav's Beis Medrash on Chofish, on break, when he came home to his family, have a menashik lehu l'achbose, he would go and kiss his sisters, where? Abecha dayu. That's usually translated on their bosom, on their breast, which is, again, a very strange thing. The Amri le'ad say, abe yadayu, was on their hands. So you see that Ula wasn't concerned over here about making any gzeiros. He didn't think that this would lead to anything, and therefore he didn't make a gzeiro over here that not to have this contact with his sisters. Even though this contact was certainly not in any sort of a prurient manner, nevertheless, the rabbis didn't feel, Ula didn't feel it was necessary to make any sort of gzeiro over here because it was a pure friendship, a loving sister-brother relationship, and nothing, Rachmanu Litzlan, inappropriate or immoral. But the Gemara says, even Ula himself seems to disagree with that. Upliga didei adidei. Ula here was the one that kissed the sister, but elsewhere he says, the Amar Ula, afilu shum kurva asur, mishum lech lech armi nazira, schor schor likarma, losikrov. This pasuk, Ula says, is the reason that you shouldn't even get close to a sister. You shouldn't get close to anybody, because it's like a nazir. We say to a nazir, don't even go near the vineyard, because walk around it, because you're only going to lead into trouble. So Ula seems to be arguing with himself. One place he kissed the hand of his sister, and the other place he says, no, you have to stay far away. So the Gemara doesn't answer this question. Tosus answers the question. The Gemara says, why did Ula do this? He says, in general, he shouldn't do this, but he himself did it. So Gemara says, the Tosus says at the very bottom, Ula knew himself, and he knew for him there was zero risk. For everybody else, there was some sort of a risk. But for Ula himself, there was no risk. And brings down the Gemara in Ksubos, the famous story of Rav Ada Bar Ava. He would go and put the kala on his shoulders and dance with her. And everybody asked him, how can you do that? Aren't you going to have Yehurim? And he says, if it's like having a beam on your shoulders, if that's the way you feel about the kala on your shoulders, it's absolutely not at all Purim. It's not at all going to lead you to have Yehurim. Then you're allowed to do this. So there were individuals that could do that. Obviously, I always say this is a professional driver on a closed road. Don't try this at home. And this would be absolutely usher nowadays, of course, for anybody to do. Tosos answered, Akamark didn't feel it was necessary. It was so obvious, so Akamark didn't even bother telling us what we just said now from Tosos. Now we go to another interesting story. This is from the Ovis of Rav Nosson. And we learned there in a Brisa, Ton of Eliyahu. They learned in the Beis Medrash of Eliyahu. What's the Beis Medrash of Eliyahu? So some say this was the Beis Medrash that Eliyahu really taught the people in this Beis Medrash. They had the zchus to have Gilu Eliyahu. Others explain, no, that it was a Tana by the name of Eliyahu. In any event, Maisa B'Talmud Echad, there once was a story about a certain Talmud. He was a young Talmud Chacham. Shoshana Harbe, he learned a lot of Torah. V'Kora Harbe, he learned a lot of Chumash. V'Shimesh Talmid Chachamim Harbe, and he served his Rebbeim properly. He did everything right. And Nebuch Umeis B'Chetzi Yomav, he died at half of his life. His wife took his tefillin and she and bemoaned her fate, and she went around to all the shuls and the base medrashims, and the Armulahem, she told them, the Torah is our source of life. If you learn Torah, you can have a long life. And she said, Bali, Shoshana Harbe, Vikar Harbe, my husband, he learned a lot. He learned Chumash, he learned Gemara, he learned everything. We turned to Yom Beis. Vishimesh Tamidei Chachamim Harbe, and he was a perfect person. He listened to the Tamidei Chachamim. He didn't make up stuff on his own. And he, unfortunately, Mimnei Ma'ameis V'chetzi Yom, why did he die so young? And nobody had an answer for her. Nobody knew what to say to her. Shitaka had a good taina. Nobody can answer. Nobody can say anything to her. Pamach, as one time, the author of this brisa, the Tonet Ve'el Eliyahu, Nisarachti Etzlo, whoever was the author of this brisa, some say it was Eliyahu, some say it was a Talmud over there, whoever it was, he went to that neighborhood, and she came up to him and told him the whole story. So he answered her, well, Marty Lo, this Talmud said, Biti, Bimei Nidusech, Mahu Etzlech, when you were in Nida, what was your conduct with your husband? She said to him, oh, of course we didn't do anything wrong. I feel bad. He wouldn't even touch me with his tiny pinky. Then he asked, Bimei Livunech, during the 7 days of Zayin Nekiyim, the days when you're wearing white and you have to go and see, check every day if you've had a discharge. Mawetzloch, did he stay with you then? So she said, yes, Ochali me, he ate with me, Vishasi me, he drank with me, Vyoshani me, Vikira Basar, and he was close to me in bed. But he didn't do anything else. Yeah, we were near each other, physically next to each other. We were in Kiru Basar, but we never Chas V'Shalom did an Aveira. So this Tana V'Eliyahu says, V'amarti lo, oh, Baruch HaMakom Shargo. It's a good thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him, because otherwise, Shalom Nasa Ponim Lator, because he did a terrible Aveira over here. He passed over here that you're allowed to do this. Shariyam in Torah, the Torah says, V'el Isha B'nidas Tumasa Lo Siklov. So the pasuk says you're not allowed to get near her even during the days of Nida, and he didn't follow that. He was darshing himself that it means that it only means actual having relations, but what he did was wrong, and therefore he deserved this punishment. Now, Kiyos Rav Dimi said, Amar mita chada havoi. He said that they really weren't karav basa, they just were in the same bed. We know Allah said that a husband and wife don't sleep in the same bed when she's in a Nida. You have to have separate beds. But he slept in the same bed with her. That was his sin. And finally, the third option was B'marava Amre, Amre Yitzel Bar Yosef. And Eretz Yisrael, they said, in the name of Yitzel Bar Yosef, Sino Mafsik Ben Olivino. They were in the same bed. They had some sort of a garment around her. Rashi says, She Chogerizbo. He uses a French word, and he says that she was girded with this type of a garment. Omegia Mimosnaim Lamata. It was like from her hips down. And so she had some sort of a garment on her, so they weren't actually Bekiru Basa, but it was improper. And for all of these reasons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that this Talmud Chacham should die at a young age. For those that are interested in more detail about this story, in my Sefer, Women in the Talmud, I go into a little bit more detail about this. Just in brief, the Yin Yaka writes over here that this woman was really a tzaddikus, and she felt very, very bad, and her husband was a tzaddik, and she was wondering why the schus of all his mitzvahs didn't protect them. In fact, that's why he says that she bedavka showed his tefillin. The tefillin normally would protect the person. The mitzvah of putting on the tefillin should have protected him, and the Marsha adds over here that it was to spur all the other Talmidim Chacham to think, hey, maybe we're doing something wrong too. We're also wearing tefillin and we learn, and yet he died, so maybe we have to look at all of our Maisim. The Anaf Yosef explains why did the guy deserve to die. He really wasn't doing anything wrong. So he said that in fact he did something wrong. He felt that this was actually the Yemei Libuna. his wife had gone, she was a nida, and had gone to the mikvah. And during this period of time, she technically was mut to him, and it was only Gzera Durabanan that he had to wait Zayin Nikiyim. And he didn't take that seriously enough. He said, it's only Gzera Durabanan. And, I won't have Tashmish, but I can have Kiruv Basar. And that was the sin that he did, which showed the disregard for the Chachamim's words, and therefore that's why he was so punished. Again, a very difficult story, but tremendous things we can learn from it. And one of them is, in addition, that you can't bribe a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because you do mitzvahs, because you learn Torah, if you do something wrong, you will be punished. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ve'elu min ha'lochosh amru ba'aliyas Chanani Mechizki ben Garon. We had mentioned Chanani Mechizki ben Garon previously, and now we continue and say, these halachas that we just learned, that we, the Maskana of the Gemara, had to understand this Mishnah, those halachas that we just learned about delousing your shirt and not reading by a light on Shabbos, so these are the halachas we'll learn in the attic of Chanani Mechizki ben Garon. Sha'alu levakro, and people came up to visit him, because he was up there learning, he was reconciling the Sefer of Yecheskel. The Gemara was going to tell us that if it wasn't for Hananiah Mechizkiah, they would have put the Sefer of Yecheskel into some sort of a ban because they didn't understand it. It seems to contradict a lot of things in the Chumash, so he reconciled all the problems. So they went up to his attic, and they went to visit him while he was up there reconciling Yecheskel. Shalul Levakro. And Nimnu, at that point, they counted who was there, Verabu Beshamah Beisilil, and more Tamidim Beshamidim Beisilil, and that was became the Psak Halacha, V'yudchaz Dvarim Gozru Bobayom. And that day, they enacted 18 dinim that were like the opinion of Beshamai, who were in the majority that day, over the opinion of Beisilil, which is how we normally paskin. Morris starts off and says, Amalei Abayali Rav Yosef, Abayas Rav Yosef, is the proper gear of the Mishnah, Elu Tanan, should it be Elu Min Halachos, or Ve'elu Tanan, or should it be a Vav over there, meaning it's going back on the previous things, these are the things that we learned. Ve'elu tnan, when it says ve'elu tnan hani damor, it means the previous dinah that we learned, again, the delousing and the reading by a lamp on Shabbos, or, oh, elu tnan, the binyan lememer, come on, and we're about to say, these following dinah that we're about to say, that is what the Mishnah is referring to. So let's see which one is right. Toshma, we have a brisa that says, elu ein polin lo'or haner v'ein korin lo'or haner. We had this brisa the other day. We tried to prove what was the proper understanding. Does it mean ein polin lo'or haner, or does it not mean ein polin lo'or haner? So it said beferish, ein polin lo'or haner, v'ein korin lo'or haner. Ve'elu min ha'lochosh amru b'aliyas chanan v'chizki ben garon. That was the brisa that we learned. So it clearly goes on the previous dinim, Shema Minah, Ve'elu Tnan, Shema Minah. So this proper reading of the Mishnah is like we have it, Ve'elu, because it's referring to the previous dinim. Now, Tana Rabbanon, Mi Kosav Megillas Tainis, who was the author of Megillas Tainis? What is Megillas Tainis? So Rashi tells us over here that you're not allowed to write down the Mishnayis, the Brises, and everything. It's Osir. Only write them down, since Rabbi said, Eslos Lashem, if Eresor Secha. We learned during the end of Gemara and Brachos that the people had reached such a low level that if they didn't write them down, nobody would be able to learn. So therefore, they wrote them down. But normally, you're not allowed to write these things down. But Megillas Tainis was written down, Lezikaron, to help them remember, Ladas, Yomim, Hasurim, Betanis, all the days that terrible things happened to Klai Yisrael, and then we won. And those days turned into happy days, and therefore we don't make hespedim on those days, we don't fast on those days, and that's why it's called Megillas Tainis, because it was written in the form of a Megillah. In any event, Hananiah Mechizki was the author of that. Now, why did he write it? Shayu Mechavadin, Hananiah Mechizki of Siato, Hananiah Mechizki and all of his friends, Hayu Mechavadin the Tzaros. They were so thankful to Hashem. What does it mean they loved the Tzaros? It means they loved that they were saved from the Tzaros. And all the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them were very dear to them. And they wanted to therefore remind themselves of L'shavcho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the things that he did for them. And therefore they wrote him down in this Sefer. Oh, these are the days that all the wonderful things happened to us. Now, Hananiah Mechizki lived many years before Rishon Gamliel. I'm Rishon Gamliel. Af anu mechad v'nisat tzoros. We also feel that way. We want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how come we don't have a similar sefer of Megillas Tainis? Abomanasi said, what can we do? Shembanu lichtov, if we were to start writing down all the tzoros in our days, and on a speaking, we'd never end up right. We'd never end up finishing. As Rashi says, lefi shein tadiris, there's so many tzoros nebuch. And it's really one teretz. It's words lishnachrin, it shouldn't be there. It should really be, ein lanu Mesafkin, Melasas Yontem B'Choyom, because we would have to make in the 354 days of the Hebrew calendar, we'd have 354 days in Megillas Tainis, because every day the Goyim are trying to kill us, and every day we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's just too much. Gemara says, Dover Acher, alternatively, Ain Shota Nifka. We're at such a low level that we don't even realize all the terrible things that are happening to us because we're on such a low level. So to say, like, a person who's stupid doesn't realize he's even being hurt. So therefore, as Rashi says, Ein pegara ba'al av, kolomar, ein omakir b'fagov. He doesn't even realize, kach kama nisim ba'am lano. We don't even realize all the things that Hashem is doing for us. We're on such a low spiritual level. Ein omakir in the man, and therefore we don't even make a yantiv because we don't realize that Hashem has been so good to us. That's one of the reasons why in Halal it says, Halu kol agoyim. The goyim know what they wanted to do to us. And therefore they praise Hashem. When they were thwarted, they realized that Hashem protects the Jewish people. We don't even realize it sometimes. Ein shota nifka. Davaracher, an alternative reason is, Ein boser ameis margish bizemo. That we're such a low level over here, we don't even realize we're being hurt. That the goyim are doing so much to us all the time that we're like a dead person. And a dead person doesn't feel the izemo. The izemo is the knife, the scalpel. One of the questions this last reason. Is that really true? Rav Yitzchak said, Kosha rima lameis kimachad abasar achai. That the worms, when they decay a dead body, when a person is nebuch buried in the ground, and the worms destroy his body and it decays, so the neshama somehow feels that, just the way a human being who's alive feels a needle stuck into his flesh. And where do we see this from? Shinema, because the Pasuk in Eo says, Ach, the sorrow all of Yechov, the flesh on his body will be painful. The nafsh all of Tevel, and his neshama will, so to say, feel that pain. So therefore, you do see that the dead person feels the pain. How can you say over here, Ein basar ameis margish bizemel? How can you say that the dead body doesn't feel pain? So the Gemara answers, Ema, don't read it the way we just did. Ella, read it in the following way. Ein basar ameis shebechai, dead flesh, gangrenous flesh on a living person, that doesn't feel margish bizemel. So it's the gangrenous limb that doesn't feel any pain. But a dead person, so his neshama does feel the pain. That's how we reconcile it. And then the Gemara continues and says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Biram Zocher Oso Ha'ish Latov. We remember very favorably that person. Who is that person? Chananya Mechizkiah Shmo, this great Chananya Mechizkiah, Shomali, who, if it wasn't for him, Nigna Sefer Yecheskel, they would have put the book of Yecheskel into the Geniza. They would have put it in Chayrim, because we didn't understand it. It seems to have so many contradictions between that and Psukim in the Chumash. And what did he do? Because Sefer Yecheskel showed Dvarav Sos from Divrei Torah, because as I just said, the words of Yecheskel seem to argue with the Torah. So what did he do? Ma'asa, Helu lo gimul meos garvi shema. They brought up 300 barrels of wine. The number 300 in the Gemara is always an exaggeration. Lavdavka, they brought up 300 barrels of wine. In other words, they put him up there for a while, and he was ready to spend all of his time there reconciling these differences. V'yoshev b'aliyah v'darshan. And he sat and sat and learned, and he finally reconciled every one of the problems in Yecheskel, and therefore Yecheskel was able to be, so to say, restored to its rightful place as one of the 24 books of Tanakh, and it wasn't put into Chayrim, it wasn't put into Geniza. Now we get down to the very, very important Gemara that we're about to embark upon, which is known as the Shmona Asa Dover, the 18 Gezeros that in this attic of Chananya ben Chizkiah, they passing like Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. What are these 18 things? So first we're going to have 10 of them over here. So my ninu Shimon Asa Dover, what are these 18 things? So first we'll have a list of 10, all dealing with Tumah and Tara. We need to know a little bit of background in Tumah and Tara before we can go easily forward. These are complex ideas if you're not familiar with them. And we have to know that Midaraisa, you have basically an avatuma, something that's the actual Tumah itself, like a dead body. And it can be Matame. An avatuma can be Matame Odom and Kalim, a man or vessels, as well as Ochlim and Mashkim, food and drink. But a Vlad HaTuma, i.e. a Rishon, a Sheni, a Shlishi, a Revi, the children of the Tuma, the Av HaTuma is the father, the actual Tuma itself, and the children are called the Vlad HaTuma, so that's the Av comes into contact with something, becomes a Rishon, comes into contact with something, becomes a Sheni. So a Vlad HaTuma can only be Matame Ochlim and Mashkim, it can only be Matame food and drink. Whereas it can never be matame odom or kalim. So these are basic principles. Now, when something is matame something else, we use the term, it's matame, it makes it tame. Except we use another word called posel when it reaches the end of the rope. So if a rishon makes a sheni, we use the terminology, it's matame. But if the sheni goes and, let's say, makes a shlishi, and that's the end of the rope, for example, for Truma, it doesn't go below a Shlishi, so then we don't say it's Matami, we say the Sheni is Mefasel, or Posel. We use the term Posel when it's Matami, but it doesn't go beyond that. As opposed to a Rishon that makes a Sheni, which can make a Shlishi, let's say by Truma, so then the Rishon is Matami the Sheni, and the Sheni is Posel the Shlishi. So this is just terminology as well. You use the term Matami when the Truma affects the thing that it's touching, and it can be transmitted further. And we use the Lashon Aposel when it's Matami, the thing that it's touching, but it can't transmit it further. With that little introduction, let's begin. What are these 18 Shmona Asa Dover? Titnan. So we learned in a Mishnah in Gittin. Elu Posel Nesat Truma. The following things will be Posel Truma. By Chulin, it only has a Rishon and a Sheni. By Truma, it goes down to a Shlishi. And by Kachim, it goes down to Revi. By Paraduma, it goes down not only to Chamishi, it goes down even Admeya, the Mefarshim bring down. So there are different things that can have different levels of tumah attached to them. By chulin, by non-holy things, you only go to a sheni. So if you want to be a truma, the third level, it goes to a shlishi, that's the posel level, it goes to go beyond that. So a rishon or a sheni is matame, but when it goes to a shlishi, it's called posel. So the Mishnah says, elu posel is a truma. The following items, this whole list of things that we're going to say, make truma into a shlishi. It doesn't go beyond the shlishi, but they make it tame at the level of shlishi, called posel in esa truma. What are these? If a person, ha'ochel, a man who eats, ochel, you could substitute the word it says on the side, maichel. So the first word, ochel, is a verb, one who eats, and ochel is the noun, ochel rishon. If a person eats a rishon, so he becomes a sheni, and then he is metame truma, he's posel that truma to make it into a shlishi. Likewise, va'ochel, ochel sheni. If a person eats a sheni, he also becomes a rishon. The Gemara will explain why when we discuss this in more detail. And therefore, he becomes a sheni, and therefore, he's touching truma, he'll make it into a shlishi, he's posel the truma. Vashosa mashkin tmein. If a person drinks mashkin tmein, here it doesn't make a difference whether he's eating or drinking mashkin that are rishon or mashkin that are risheni. They're always going to make him into a sheni, and he's going to be over here metame the truma, and we call it posel because he'll make it into a shlishi. So those are the first three things that we say over here. The fourth one, v'aba rosho uruba b'mayim she'uvim. A person who is a tful yom. That's clear from Rashi. And he goes, after he went to the mikvah, and he sticks his head and the majority of his body into water that's from a bathtub, so to say. The waters that are drawn waters, she'uvim waters, as opposed to kosher mikvah. Now, after he went to the mikvah, there's a din d'rabbanan that you can't go into a bathtub, because people will see in the Gemara later on, are going to say that it was the bathtub, the clean water in the bath, that made you tar, and not the dirty mikvah water. And therefore, if somebody goes into a mikvah, and he's now it's full yom, he has to wait till nightfall to become tar, and now he goes and takes a bath after he's going to the Mayim Shuvim, he becomes again a sheni, and he can be metami truma. He'll be posel the truma, and that he makes the truma into a shlishi. As opposed to, if he touches Maisa sheni or he touches chulin, he won't have that impact, because they can't have the level of a shlishi, and we only make him into a sheni, so he can only make things into a shlishi, and truma has a shlishi potential, but Maisa sheni and chulin do not. Next one, the fifth one. The tar shenafel arosh of rubo shlosh lugim mayim she'uvim. This is a regular person, not tful yom. And if he goes and takes a shower, he has three lugin of water poured on him, so the rabbis also made him into a sheni in halach. The Gemara will explain this as well. The next one is vasefer svarim. We'll see in the Gemara that because people would store their truma and their svarim together, because they said these are both holy, but mice will come and eat the truma, and then the mice will come and eat the svarim. So the rabbi said, no, the sefer Torah can be metame, and all of a sudden they didn't put the truma there anymore, and the mice didn't come to eat it up. So a sefer is also metame, making a person who touches it. That's why people are careful not to kiss the sefer Torah with their hands. They use their talus or a gartel or something like that. So a sefer, that's number six. But yadayim, your hands are given the status of being a sheni. So both the sefer and the yadayim are like a sheni, and they can be posel truma to make it into a shlishi. But tul yom, a person who went to the mikvah, he's waiting for Harav Shemesh for nightfall, so he's like a sheni also. And mashkin are always like a rishon, so when mashkin come into contact with something, they make it into a sheni. So these ochlim that the mashkin come into contact with, or the kalim that the mashkin come into contact with, midirabbanan, they're like a sheni, and now if they were to touch truma, they would make the truma posel, they would make it into a shlishi. So these are 10 items that we just said. Now who is this author over here of these first 10 items? Mantana, who's the author who says, ochel ochel rishon, v'ochel ochel sheni, v'fasel, Pasle temuye. We turn to the Amud Beis. Temuye. Lo mitamu. Who is this author over here who says that it makes it into a sheni and not into a shlishi, right? It says ochel rishon or ochel sheni are able to only be posel truma, make it into a shlishi, but don't be mitame the truma. So who's this opinion? So this is a famous machlokas that we have elsewhere. Amar Rabbi Barachana. This is a famous machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. What is that machlokas? Ditnan. We have this Gemara in Sota, Chulin, and Taros. The Mishnah says as follows. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer's shita can be basically phrased in, you are what you eat. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you eat Omer, ha'ochel, one who eats, ochel rishon. If you eat something that's a rishon, you become a rishon. Ochel, ochel sheni. If you eat something that's a sheni, you become a sheni. And ochel shlishi, if you go eat something that's a shlishi, you become a shlishi. Again, Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is very simple, straightforward. You are what you eat. If you ate something, a rishon, you become a rishon. You ate a sheni, you become a sheni. You ate a shlishi, you become a shlishi. We're not interested in Rabbi Eliezer's shita right now because we're looking for Rabbi Yeshua's shita, which is the one that we said this brisa goes like. The 10 things. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ochel, ochel rishon. If somebody eats a rishon, or the ochel sheni, if he eats a sheni, in both of these situations, the person becomes a sheni, and he could be posel truma as a shlishi if he touches it. But if you eat a shlishi, then you become a sheni, but not in regards to anything else, only in regards to kodesh. Kodesh again goes down to the revi level. So if you eat a shlishi, you become a sheni for kodesh, but the ain't sheni le truma, but you don't become a sheni for truma. You don't do anything for truma. Why is this the case? So Gemara answers, we're talking here about bechulin shenasu al taras truma. We're dealing with a unique situation when people were eating chulin, but they kept to it the stringencies of truma. So therefore, this person over here, he's talking about where he keeps stringencies on the level of Taras Truma. So in this situation, where he's holding on a much higher level, so in this situation, where the Kohen, who's always eating Truma, always kept all of his Chulin on that same level as well, because he didn't want to take a chance, he'd forget. I'm eating Truma, I'm eating Chulin, so he says, I'll always be stringent and make believe everything has the status of Truma. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua holds over here that when this person is careful about Truma, he's not careful about Kodesh necessarily. And therefore, in regards to Kodesh, even the truma that he's eating over here, when it became tame on the third level, so Chazal, so to say, made up stringency over here, that only in regards to truma was he careful, but he obviously was not careful in regards to kachim. So while it is a shlishi in regards to truma, so Chazal, so to say, made a knas over here and made it like a rishon. And therefore, when he eats it, so it's now, he becomes a sheni in regards to kodesh. These are some very difficult concepts over here. These 10 items we'll go over more in detail in tomorrow's shiur. We'll have further chance to discuss them. I just want to mention that today's shiur was learned Lila Nishmas Francis Karp, Thega Reza Bas Yaakov Yitzchak, and also Mindel Bina Lerman, Mina Bina Bas Yaakov, and this is the mother of Moshe and Yaakov Lerman, and Mitzvah Shem, all the Neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah. With this, we conclude today's shiur.